Chapter 4 Dissolutions 1 End of the Microcosm. The mighty hero of extraordinary powers, able to lift Mount Govardhan on a finger and to fill himself with the terrible glory of the universe, is each of us. Not the physical self visible in the mirror, but the king within. Krishna declares, I am the self, seated in the hearts of all creatures. I am the beginning, the middle, and the end of all beings. This, precisely, is the sense of the prayers for the dead. At the moment of personal dissolution, that the individual should now return to his pristine knowledge of the world creative divinity, who during life was reflected within his heart.
When he comes to weakness, whether he come to weakness through old age or through disease, this person frees himself from these limbs, just as a mango or a fig or a berry releases itself from its bond. And he hastens again, according to the entrance and place of origin, back to life. As noblemen, policemen, chariot drivers, village heads wait with food, drink, and lodgings for a king who is coming, and cry, Here he comes! Here he comes! So indeed do all things wait for him who has this knowledge, and cry, Here is the imperishable coming! Here is the imperishable coming!
The idea is sounded already in the coffin texts of ancient Egypt, where the dead man sings of himself as one with God.
I am Atum, I who was alone. I am Re at his first appearance. I am the great God, self-generator, who fashioned his names, Lord of gods, whom none approaches among the gods. I was yesterday, I know tomorrow. The battlefield of the gods was made when I spoke. I know the name of that great God who is therein. Praise of Re is his name. I am that great phoenix which is in Heliopolis.
But, as in the death of the Buddha, the power to make a full transit back through the epochs of emanation depends on the character of the man when he was alive. The myths tell of a dangerous journey of the soul, with obstacles to be passed. The Eskimos in Greenland enumerate a boiling kettle, a pelvis bone, a large burning lamp, monster guardians, and two rocks that strike together and open again. Such elements are standard features of world folklore and heroic legend. We have discussed them above in our chapters of The Adventure of the Hero. They have received their most elaborate and significant development in the mythology of the soul's last journey. An Aztec prayer to be said at the deathbed warns the departed of the dangers along the way back to the skeleton god of the dead, Tzontemoc, he of the falling hair.
Dear child, thou hast passed through and survived the labors of this life. Now it hath pleased our Lord to carry thee away, for we do not enjoy this world everlastingly, only briefly. Our life is like the warming of oneself in the sun, and the Lord hath conferred on us the blessing of knowing and conversing with each other in this existence. But now, at this moment, the god who is called Mictlantecuhtli, or Aconcagua, or again Tzontemoc, and the goddess known as Mictlantecuhtli, have transported thee away. Thou art brought before his seat. For we all must go there. That place is intended for us all, and it is vast. We are to have of thee no further recollection. Thou wilt reside in that place most dark, where there is neither light nor window. Thou wilt not return or depart from thence, nor wilt thou think about or concern thyself with the matter of return. Thou wilt be absent from among us forevermore. Poor and orphaned hast thou left thy children, thy grandchildren, nor dost thou know how they will end, how they will pass through the labors of this life. As for ourselves, we shall soon be going there where thou art to be.
The Aztec ancients and officials prepared the body for the funeral, and when they had properly wrapped it, took a little water and poured it on the head, saying to the deceased, "This thou didst enjoy when thou wert living in the world." And they took a small jug of water and presented it to him, saying, "Here is something for thy journey." They set it in the fold of his shroud. Then they wrapped the deceased in his blankets, secured him strongly, and placed before him, one at a time, certain papers that had been prepared. "Lo, with this thou wilt be able to go between the mountains that clash. With this thou wilt pass along the road where the serpent watcheth. This will satisfy the little green lizard, Hochitonal. And behold, with this thou wilt make the transit of the 8 deserts of freezing cold. Here is that by which thou wilt go across the 8 small hills. Here is that by which thou wilt survive the wind of the obsidian knives." The departed was to take a little dog with him, of bright reddish hair. Around its neck they placed a soft thread of cotton. They killed it and cremated it with the corpse. The departed swam on this small animal when he passed the river of the underworld, and after 4 years of passage he arrived with it before the god, to whom he presented his papers and gifts, whereupon he was admitted, together with his faithful companion, to the 9th abyss.
White dogs and black cannot swim the river, because the white would say, "I have washed myself," and the black, "I have soiled myself." Only the bright reddish ones can pass to the shore of the dead.
The Chinese tell of a crossing of the ferry bridge under guidance of the Jade Maiden and the Golden Youth. The Hindus picture a towering firmament of heavens and a many-leveled underworld of hells. The soul gravitates after death to the story appropriate to its relative density, there to digest and assimilate the whole meaning of its past life. When the lesson has been learned, it returns to the world to prepare itself for the next degree of experience. Thus, gradually, it makes its way through all the levels of life value until it is broken past the confines of the cosmic egg. Dante's Divina Commedia is an exhaustive review of the stages. Inferno, the misery of the spirit bound to the prides and actions of the flesh. Purgatorio, the process of transmuting fleshly into spiritual experience. Paradiso, the degrees of spiritual realization. A deep and awesome vision of the journey is that of the Egyptian Book of the Dead. The man or woman who has died is identified with and actually called Osiris. The texts open with hymns of praise to Re and Osiris, and then proceed to the mysteries of the unswathing of the spirit in the world beneath. In the chapter of giving a mouth to Osiris, N, we read the phrase, "I rise out of the egg in the hidden land," where N appears, the name of the deceased is given, viz., Osiris Ofonk, Osiris Ani. This is the announcement of the idea of death as a rebirth. Then, in the chapter of opening the mouth of Osiris N, the awakening spirit prays, "May the god Ptah open my mouth, and may the god of my city loose the swathings, even the swathings which are over my mouth." The chapter of making Osiris N to possess memory in the underworld, and the chapter of giving a heart to Osiris N in the underworld, carry the process of rebirth 2 stages further. Then begin the chapters of the dangers that the lone voyager has to face and overcome on his way to the throne of the awesome judge. The Book of the Dead was buried with the mummy as a guidebook to the perils of the difficult way, and chapters were recited at the time of burial. At one stage in the preparation of the mummy, the heart of the dead man was cut open, and a basalt scarab in a gold setting, symbolic of the sun, was placed therein with the prayer, "My heart, my mother, my heart, my mother, my heart of transformations." This is prescribed in the chapter of not letting the heart of Osiris N be taken from him in the underworld. Next we read, in the chapter of beating back the crocodile,
"Get thee back, O crocodile that dwellest in the west. Get thee back, O crocodile that dwellest in the south. Get thee back, O crocodile that dwellest in the north. The things which are created are in the hollow of my hand, and those which have not yet come into being are in my body. I am clothed and wholly provided with thy magical words, O Ray, the which are in heaven above me, and in the earth beneath me."
The chapter of repulsing serpents follows, then the chapter of driving away Apshet. The soul cries at the latter demon, "Depart from me, O thou who hast lips that gnaw." In the chapter of driving back the two Murti goddesses, the soul declares its purpose and protects itself by stating its claim to be the son of the Father. "I shine from the Sektet boat. I am Horus, the son of Osiris, and I have come to see my father, Osiris." The chapter of living by air in the underworld, and the chapter of driving back the serpent Rerek in the underworld, carry the hero still further along his way. And then comes the great proclamation of the chapter of driving away the slaughterings which are performed in the underworld.
"My hair is the hair of Nu. My face is the face of the disk. My eyes are the eyes of Hathor. My ears are the ears of Apuat. My nose is the nose of Kentikas. My lips are the lips of Anpu. My teeth are the teeth of Serget. My neck is the neck of the divine goddess Isis. My hands are the hands of Ban-Nebtatu. My forearms are the forearms of Naith, the lady of Sais. My backbone is the backbone of Suti. My phallus is the phallus of Osiris. My loins are the loins of the lords of Ker-Abba. My chest is the chest of the mighty one of Terror. There is no member of my body that is not the member of some god. The god Thoth shieldeth my body altogether, and I am Ray, day by day. I shall not be dragged back by the arms, and none shall lay violent hold upon my hands."
As in the much later Buddhist image of the Bodhisattva, within whose nimbus stand 500 transformed Buddhas, each attended by 500 Bodhisattvas, and each of these in turn by innumerable gods, so here the soul comes to the fullness of its stature and power, through assimilating the deities that formerly had been thought to be separate from and outside of it. They are projections of its own being, and as it returns to its true state, they are all reassumed. In the chapter of snuffing the air and of having the mastery over the water of the underworld, the soul proclaims itself to be the guardian of the cosmic egg. "Hail, thou sycamore tree of the goddess Nut! Grant thou to me of the water and of the air which dwell in thee. I embrace the throne which is in Hermopolis, and I watch and guard the egg of the great cackler. It groweth, I grow. It liveth, I live. It snuffeth the air, I snuff the air. I, the Osiris N, in triumph." There followed the chapter of not letting the soul of a man be taken from him in the underworld, and the chapter of drinking water in the underworld and of not being burnt by fire. And then we come to the great culmination, the chapter of coming forth by day in the underworld. wherein the soul and the universal being are known to be one.
I am yesterday, today, and tomorrow, and I have the power to be born a second time. I am the divine, hidden soul, who createth the gods, and who giveth sepulchral meals unto the denizens of the underworld of Amentet and of heaven. I am the rudder of the east, the possessor of two divine faces, wherein his beams are seen. I am the Lord of the men who are raised up, the Lord who cometh forth out of darkness, and whose forms of existence are of the house wherein are the dead. Hail, ye two hawks, who are perched upon your resting places, who hearken unto the things which are said by him, who guide the bier to the hidden place, who lead along Ray, and who follow him into the uppermost place of the shrine which is in the celestial heights. Hail, Lord of the shrine which standeth in the middle of the earth. He is I, and I am he, and Ptah hath covered his sky with crystal.
Thereafter, the soul may range the universe at will, as is shown in the chapter of lifting up the feet and of coming forth upon the earth, the chapter of journeying to Heliopolis and of receiving a throne therein, the chapter of a man transforming himself into whatever form he pleaseth, the chapter of entering into the great house, and the chapter of going into the presence of the divine sovereign princes of Osiris. The chapters of the so-called negative confession declare the moral purity of the man who has been redeemed. I have not done iniquity. I have not robbed with violence. I have not done violence to any man. I have not committed theft. I have not slain man or woman. The book concludes with addresses of praise of the gods, and then the chapter of living nigh unto Re, the chapter of causing a man to come back to see his house upon earth, the chapter of making perfect the soul, and the chapter of sailing in the great sunboat of Re.